Well, hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Amen. Well, glory. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just need to camp out a while where God is moving. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you turn your Bibles to Isaiah 43. I don't have a bulletin up here, but I'll try to reconstruct the week. Tuesday at 10 o'clock is prayer meeting. Of course, the announcements will be on the wall. But Wednesday at 7:30 is our family worship night. I want to encourage you to come out and be a part of that time of teaching God's word and worship together. And then Friday is Junior Friday, 6 to 9. Saturday night is prayer meeting. Again, did I miss anything, anybody? Yes, brother. That's good. All right. Praise the name of the Lord. Isaiah 43, if you'd stand for the reading of the word tonight, I'll read just a few verses, and there is one that I want to be a text for us tonight. But we'll begin reading at verse 14. It's Isaiah 43:14. You can't hardly forget that this is the chapter that begins like in verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. But then verse 14, thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Verse 19 is our text, but I'd like you to keep your Bibles open. Verse 19 says, it's God speaking through the prophet. God says in the voice of God, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Oh, I like that. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold, I will do a new thing. I want to preach tonight on a new thing in a new year. Hallelujah. We have the promise of the Lord. I will do a new thing. A new thing in a new year. We tire of the same old, but God has a promise to us that He'll do a new thing in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, in our families, in the church. The Lord said, I will do a new thing. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I don't know if you remember several years ago, time gets away, remember hearing of Larry Walters out in Los Angeles, 33 years old, and he got a bright idea one time. He wanted to see his neighborhood from a new perspective, so he went to an Army surplus store and bought 45 weather balloons and filled them up with helium, and he strapped himself in a lawn chair, and then he had his friends tie these balloons on. And before they cut him loose with those balloons pulling on that lawn chair, he asked for a 6-pack of beer and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a BB gun. And his idea was that when he got up there, when he wanted to come down, he'd take the BB gun, he'd begin to shoot the balloons, and that let him descend. Well, they cut him loose, and his estimation was that he'd go about 100 feet up in the air, 100 feet, and not too long after they cut him loose, he was up 11,000 feet in the path of airplanes. It shut the Los Angeles airport down for several hours, and the military was called out, and it took him a while to get the fella grounded. And when they got him grounded, of course, the police cited him, arrested him, and the reporters began to ask questions. They said, were you scared? He said, yes. They said, would you do it again? He said, no. They said, why did you do it? And the great philosopher said, well, you can't just sit there. Sounds like to me that's a bored fellow. Sound like to me that's a fellow that's tired of the same old, same old. You know, we as humans, we're never content when our lives seem to become one endless, predictable cycle of responsibilities and problems. How many can say sometimes it seems like that? Life has just settled in to one predictable cycle of responsibilities and problems. Could I add bills in there? Just an endless drudgery cycle. But we as Christians, it's more than that. We are never content when our spiritual experience seems to have stalled out. When our spiritual experience, our walk with God, seems to be going nowhere and has lost its luster. But I believe those whose hearts are intent on serving God, when they get to that place, their hearts begin to cry out, "Oh God, do a new thing in my heart. Do a new thing in my heart." We've just had a wonderful holiday season. It reached its climax in the Christmas festivities. And yet with all the feasting festivities and celebration, our hearts, amen, feel empty for something else. And we like the new year, amen, even with like the unsaved, the new year speaks to us of a new beginning. And it puts hope in our hearts that there really can be something new in this new year, this 2010. And so I believe those with spiritual life and spiritual desire are finding themselves crying out to God, "Lord, do a new thing. Lord, do a new thing in my heart. Lord, do a new thing in my family. Lord, do a new thing in the church." And the wonderful thing is, we have the promise of the Lord. He said, "I will do a new thing." Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Amen. This promise in Isaiah strikes a chord. And yet as I contemplate on this promise, and I'm not going to try to give an exposition tonight, but as I contemplate on this, I see some ironies when I think of this promise. And I want to share those with you. Amen. First of all, how is it that we don't like change, and yet we hate the same old feeling? Think about that. You say, "Well, I don't hate change. Give it a few years and you will." How is it that we hate change and yet at the same time we are tired and we hate the feeling of the same old, same old? Even Mark Twain said the only person that likes change is a wet baby. We're resistant to change. We don't like change. Amen. We detest that same old feeling that gets a grip on us. It's the feeling when things have lost their attraction and when everything becomes so familiar, including church. It's lost its wonder when we begin to know things so well that there's no mystery left in them. Things become so unrelenting and problems unrelenting that there's no relief, and we feel bored and we feel burned out and we feel burdened down and we feel brought low. But I want you to know something. Nothing God does is old. Nothing God does is worn out, overused. Whenever God does something, it's new. Whenever God says something, it's fresh. Even I know we're resistant to change, but at the same time we tire of the same old feeling. And if that's you tonight, I've got good news. God said, "I'll do a new thing in your heart." Oh, hallelujah. He said, "I'll do a new thing. I'll put the wonder back in it. I'll put the mystery back in it. Amen. I'll give you relief. I'll renew you. I'll refresh you. Amen. I'll put the zeal and the excitement back in your walk with me." Oh, we desire that tonight. Those of you that have spiritual life, you're desirous of a new wonder, a new thrill, a new zeal. And I'm glad I can tell you, God has promised to reinsert that in our lives as we seek Him. The second irony I notice is, how is it that when we consider the things that God has done in the past, we desire for Him to do a new thing? Think about it. It's when we take a good look at what God has done in the past, that doesn't give us a desire for the past. That gives us a desire for God to do a new thing. I touched on that on our watch night service, and I'm not going to touch on it again. But I'm going to look in the scripture here. It's when we look at the past and consider what God has done in the past, it makes us want Him to do a new thing right here, right now, in the present. You got to understand, when God says, I'll do a new thing, it doesn't mean I'll do a novel thing, or I'll do a weird thing, or I'll do an off-the-wall thing. This, and I'm not going to, I told myself I wouldn't get into this, but this scripture has been used by churches to entertain all kinds of weird things in their services, and they excuse the weirdness by saying, well, God said, I'll do a new thing. But it doesn't mean He'll do a novel thing or a unique thing in that sense. It means He'll do something that's fresh. Amen. Fresh to that generation. Fresh to that people. Amen. In the context, God's people at Isaiah's time were in captivity. And God gives them a promise. But before He gives them a promise, He reminds them of an earlier time. In fact, about 800 years previously, He reminds them of the time they were in another captivity, the captivity of Egypt. And He reminds them how when they were in captivity, He gave them a great deliverance by His mighty hand. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them, I read the verses to you, He brought them through the Red Sea, and He killed their pursuing enemies, the Egyptians, in the midst of the sea. So before God gave them the promise, He had them take a look at the past when He brought deliverance to another time of captivity. But that's been 800 years ago. This is another people. That was their great, 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 great grandfathers and mothers. It's a new time. It's a new captivity. And God said, yes, I delivered them. And I wanted you to take a look at when I delivered them. But I'll have you know, this generation needs a deliverance. And this generation is in captivity. And I'm going to do a new thing, not something off the wall, but I'm going to bring a new deliverance. I'm going to bring a fresh deliverance. I set the captive free all those centuries ago. But right here, right now, I'm going to set the captive free. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, do a new thing. Even He said in verse 18, He said, remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. I've contemplated on that throughout the years. God says, remember not the former things, and neither consider the things of old. And some use that verse to say, forget the revivals of the past. Don't study them. Don't read about them. Forget God's going to do something new and different and unique. Amen. Because God said, remember ye not the former things. The reason I contemplate that is because God has just called their attention to the former things. And why did He just call their attention to the past deliverance? And then tell them, remember not the former things. So it's got to be more than just forget the past. He's got to be saying more than that, because He just called their attention to it. And I believe today, as I meditate on this, that what God is saying, He said, I want you to take a look at the past. But when you are thinking of the past, don't get so bogged down in thinking of the past. Don't get so stuck in thinking of the past that you think that it's all past. That it's all in the past. You get to thinking about the past, you need to. But when you think about the past, don't get stuck there and think that all of God's moving is in the past. All of God's deliverance in the past. You've taken a look at the past. Don't get stuck there. Look right now, look into the future, and realize what God has done, He will do. I'll do a new thing, saith the Lord. Not just the past of Israel, but your own past. Take a look at your past. Look at the wonderful things God has done for you. But don't get stuck there and say, all that God has done for me is in the past. Say, God's going to do something for me tonight. Hallelujah. And this week. Amen. I said, amen. He's going to do a new. You say, He helped me in the past financially. Don't get stuck and think it's just in the past He's going to help you. He's going to help you in 2010. You say, I was discouraged in the past and God came by and He lifted me up and He buoyed me up. Don't get stuck that thinking that's just in the past. He wants to lift you up tonight. Amen. Amen. You say, well, I remember when God saved my loved ones. Amen. Don't get stuck thinking that it's only in the past He can save. He can save right here and right now. I want you to know He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Take a good look at the past and then get a hold of the promise. I will do a new thing, saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. He means I'll do something fresh. I got a new car. What year is it? 1999. Well, that's not new. It's new to me. Hallelujah. And that's what God means. Amen. I'm not going to give you something freaky, He says, but you've read about what I've done for others in the past. Now I'm going to do it for you right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You get to thinking of the favorite meal your wife or your mother had fixed you last month. When you get to thinking of that wonderful meal that she fixed last month, you're not thinking, I'd sure like the leftovers from that meal. You're thinking, I wish she'd fix it again. Amen. Brother Dale, we get to thinking of the past. We're challenged by that. We're not wanting leftovers. We're wanting God to do it in a brand new way. I remember that song that went through about 10, 15 years ago. Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Desire for God to do a new thing in your life is a desire for Him to do what He has done for you in the past, but do it again in a fresh way, so it's not a past memory, but a present reality. Even I carry a few pictures in my Bible, and here's one. It means nothing to you. Nothing to you. It's a black and white. And if I had scanned it, I would have put up here so you could see just a little bit of it. Even the whole background here is an old rock church. That was Shawnee First Assembly of God. That was the church I was born into. Here's the people there. Right here, I know you can see this. Right here's my dad, and he's holding me. And I'm 3 years old right there. Right there, and there's Sister Buford to talk about. She's up front. My sister, some others. I still know. So there's my grandfather up here. And I keep this picture in my Bible. And many times in the prayer room, I take it out and I start looking at it. I'm not stuck in the past, but when I begin to look at that old church, I begin to remember things that God did. I mean, as far back as I can remember, I can remember the moving of the Spirit in that church. Amen. When we were real young, too young to pray, they'd select a few of the older ladies, grandmas, and they'd stay back in the middle and watch the little kids while everyone else went to the altars and prayed. And I can remember I had to be awfully young, because if you weren't a baby or a new toddler, even you had to be in the altars. You didn't have to, but that's what you did. And I remember my grandmother was back there, and I was real young, but I remember looking up over that pew. No one else in the pews except the few grandmas and the little kids. I remember looking over that pew and watching folks shout back and forth across that altar. I mean, those altar services lasted for hours. And I don't remember this. I remember looking, but my grandmother said I'd look a while, and then I'd dance a while. I'd look a while, and I'd dance a while. I remember I was still real young, still back in the pews when old Brother Ballou got saved. They'd prayed for Brother Ballou for years and years and years. Oil field worker, rough man. I still remember I knew something was going on because folks were shouting. And here this old gentleman, he'd come down the altar and finally got saved. He jumped up. I see this as clear as it was last week. He jumped up from the altar, and he's way up in years. And his daughter is way up in years. I mean, she's 80-something now, so she was way up in years. And let's just be kind here. She wasn't necessarily a real thin lady. But when he got saved, he jumped up. And he picked her up. Her feet weren't touching the ground. He picked her right up off the ground. And he danced back and forth across the front, holding his adult daughter. She's probably in her 40s or 50s. I mean, he just danced back and forth. Hey, man, she's shouting. And her feet are going like this, not touching the ground. I remember that. I remember one time. Hey, man, we had opening exercises before Sunday school. We started opening exercises up. And the Holy Ghost fail. Amen. We never went to Sunday school class. We never started morning
leading worship, it was two or three before we finally started leaving that place. Amen. I remember being up maybe about 9 or 10 in the choir, men on this side, ladies on this side, and we got to singing one of those hymns, and all of a sudden a teenager that had been backslide, he jumped up and he screamed and he ran to the altar as fast as he could run, and he slid right into the altar and fell across and said, "Oh God, have mercy on me." I remember revival. He meant some guys just a little older than me, young teenagers. I remember how the Holy Ghost fell one night, and they were slain out in the Spirit, and for 3 hours, they never moved a muscle, never said a word. They were out in the Spirit, 3 hours. And then all of a sudden, they begin to speak with other tongues. Hallelujah. I remember them carrying them out. Teenagers so drunk on the Spirit, they couldn't walk down the aisle. And I look at that picture. Are you stuck in the past? No, but when I look at the past, even it creates a desire in me. Lord, do a new thing. Do a new thing. And I've got His promise. I want you to know the Holy Ghost is the same. He still saves. He still feels. He still heals. Amen. We can expect the promise of the Lord. I will do a new thing, saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise Him. Let's tell Him we're hungry for Him to do it. In our personal life. In our family. In the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stir our hearts, O Lord. I'm not asking for something that has never happened. I'm not asking for something far out. I'm asking for God to do what He has done, what He does do, but to do it in a fresh and a new way in my heart. Next of all, one of the ironies I see, how is it that when we're tired of the same old feeling, we erroneously think it's in the changing of the external things of our life that we get relief instead of the changing of the internal things. Let me say it again. I kind of botched that up and may do it again, but let me try to get it across. Why is it when we get that same old feeling, we get to thinking if we could only change the externals of our life, we would have relief. When in reality, it's not the externals of our life that need change. It's the internals of our life. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, do a new thing. Life has lost its wonder. Things become boring and drudgery and relentless troubles and problems. And so we begin to think that we need something new. But when we think of something new, we're thinking of the externals of our lives. We think, I need a new job. I need a new car. If I had a new house, it would solve this. If I had a new wardrobe, if I had new friends, if I had a new hairstyle, if I went to another church, a new church, if I went to a new town, if I could get involved in a new teaching, a new doctrine, that would bring back the new. And we're thinking of externals, externals. Somewhere in this United States, there was a pastor that called me up in the last 2 weeks, extremely discouraged. He said, I'll tell you something. He said, right now, I could leave the church, I could leave my family, I could leave that town and never look back. I said something else, but I'll tell you what I was thinking. I said, there's one problem with that. When you leave that church and leave that town, wherever you go and with whomever you go, when you get up in the morning to shave and look in the mirror, you're going to be looking at the same old face. Because the problem's really not in the externals. The problem's in the internals. We don't really need a change. And I'm not saying there's never a time for change in the externals, but I'm talking about for our spiritual well-being. It's not the externals that need change. It's the internals that something new needs to be done in. Spiritually, when you seem, everything seems faded. Spiritually, when everything seems worn out, you've become so familiar with the things of God. They seem dull. You're burned out spiritually. It's just not fun anymore. It's not the externals that need changed. It's the internals. It isn't my environment, my job, my church that needs a change. It's me. It's me. It's me. Hallelujah. Amen. I was joking at prayer meeting last night. Andrew was there with Zach and I was sitting next to each other and was getting ready to start prayer meeting. And I looked at them boys and I said, now which of you is it that needs prayer? And both of them pointed to the other one. Don't we kind of do that? But it isn't my external that needs a change. It's my internal that needs a change. Oh, and that's a wonderful thing. God said He would do a new thing. He wasn't talking about give me a new car, though I'd take that. He wasn't talking about give me new this and new that. He was talking about my heart. He'll do a new thing in my heart. Are you glad the scripture said He restoreth my soul? Hallelujah. Paul said, and be not conformed to this world, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. It says in Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know there is a newness that comes with the moving of the Spirit on my heart and on my life. Amen. Listen, when I get tired of everything, what I'm really tired of is me.
This may not be good psychology, but it's good preaching. I said, when I get tired of everything in my life, it's really me I'm tired of. And when you really get tired of everything in your life, it's not me. It's you. That's the way it is. It's me, Lord. Amen. It's the same old. It's my same old attitude I get tired of. It's my same old hang-ups, my same old failures, my same old temptations, my same old sins, my same old grudges, my same old fears, my same old anxieties and worries. It's that I'm tired of, the same old me. But God said, I'll do a new thing. He'll give me a new perspective. He'll give me a new vision. He'll give me a new desire. He'll give me a new attitude. He'll give me a new love. He'll give me a new zeal. He'll give me a new passion. He'll give me a new faith. He'll give me a new trust. He said, I will do a new thing. Last of all, one of the ironies here is, how is it that in my desire for a new thing, I miss that it's God that does the new thing and not I that must do it. What I'm trying to say, we realize we need a new thing. And we get to thinking it's up to us. But listen to what the promise said. God said, I will do a new thing. He's the one that does it in our hearts. You say, do we have no responsibilities? Well, the way I see it, we have one. We desire the new thing. He'll do the new thing. Amen. Oh, I wish I could change myself. You'll be unsuccessful. But if you'll desire God, God can change you. Amen. I desire the new thing, and He does the new thing because He promised it. Music, would you come? I've often wondered at a scripture. We all know in Acts chapter 2, Peter was amongst those 120 that were filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible explicitly says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's in Acts chapter 2. Peter was amongst them. Just a few days later, when Peter and John went to prayer, healed that man by the power of Christ, raised him, that lame man at Gate Beautiful. Of course, the authorities got upset, laid hands on the apostles, and Peter brought them before the council and said, by what name and in whose authority have you done this thing? And I preached that just recently. It's a wonderful story. But when they asked Peter and they said, by what name have you done this? Here's what Scripture said. And Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Present tense filled. Peter being filled at that moment with the Holy Ghost. Now you see, if you get to thinking, you think, now Peter, what's wrong here? It's just been days since you were filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room. Why is it that you need filled again? Has it leaked out? Have you done something wrong, got rid of God's Spirit? And I got to study that, and I don't believe that for a moment. Number one, I don't believe Peter had done anything wrong. I don't believe he had backslid and needed a new feeling because he backslid. I don't believe it had leaked out. But you see, what I believe is there's a fresh feeling for the fresh need. There's a fresh feeling for the fresh crisis. There's a new feeling for the new occasion. And Peter is in a new crisis right now. He's in front of the council. He has just denied the Lord before a little damsel, a little girl. And now he's facing that august gathering
of the council and the leaders of Israel. He's got a new situation and the Holy Spirit filled him fresh. He hadn't lost anything, but there was a new experience of the Holy Ghost for the new crisis he was encountering. I don't know what crisis we are going to be facing in 2010. I don't know the things we're going to deal with, but I want you to know something. There is a new feeling for the new crisis. He'll do a new thing. For every difficulty that arises, God will do a new thing, give you a new feeling, give you a fresh infilling, give you a fresh infusion of the power of His ability. Glory to God. And if you're here tonight and you're not a believer, you're not saved, if you would confess your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have this promise. If any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Hallelujah. Could you stand? Let's praise Him tonight. Thank Him for His promise. I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing, saith the Lord. I will do a new thing. Oh God, help our hearts to get wrapped around that promise. Help our hearts to get wrapped around that promise. I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless His name. Let's bless His name for a while. He's a great and mighty God, the Holy One of Israel. And what He has promised, that will He do. Oh, there's a new blessing. There's a new anointing. There's a new infilling. There's new strength. There's new power. Oh, there's new heights. There's new depths. It's all found in Him. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. If you'd like the Lord to do a new thing in your life, would you come begin to fill these altars and say, oh Lord, I'm going to get wrapped around Your promise. When You said I'll do a new thing, I'm going to claim it for myself. I'm tired of the same old, same old. I want You to do a new thing. Let's seek Him tonight in altars. Lord, do a new thing in my heart. Come on, invite Him to do it. Invite Him, Lord.